Welcome to Mystical Dispute, the Limited Magic the Gathering debate podcast. I'm Garrett Gardner, aka G-Guards.
And I'm Carl Chase, aka Two Duck Cubed.
Huge shout out to our patrons, you rule. If you'd also like to support the show, check us out at patreon.com/mysticaldispute. Today we're going to debate Network Disruptor versus
the Modern Age
in Kamigawa Neon Dynasty. But before we get into that debate topic, we get to determine the winner for the preview prediction battle.
Let's remind our listeners of the stakes. And what are those stakes, Garrett?
As I remember it, the loser has to write a beautiful haiku to the winner and post it to Twitter.
Those are, in fact, the stakes. So let's find out who the winner is. What do you say?
All right, fine. Let's find out who won.
I know you're all waiting with bated breath. Garrett and I both agreed that with the discovery of the ninjutsu data conundrum, where you get an extra game in hand when you bounce a particular card back to your hand, that we would use an adjusted game in hand win rate approach that Cirkovitz introduced, where you basically take the games played minus the games not drawn. That's a technical issue. Go check out Cirkovitz's data seminars if you want to hear a lot more about that in detail. However, it's going to be a little bit more of a fair way to rank the cards, so cards that get frequently returned to hand with ninjutsu are not inflated in terms of win rate.
And a quick refresher on the game. During preview season, we picked 5 commons. For each card, one of us set a line as to where that card would be ranked among commons of the same color in 17 lands ordered by game in hand win rate. And the other chose over or better than, or under or worse than. So now we get to see where they actually landed and who wins each card.
Okay, so our first card is Befriending the Moss, which I set the line at 9.5.
And I took the over on that, thinking even though I didn't like the card, I didn't think it would be that bad. Usually the bottom half of commons are pretty lousy.
And while it certainly remains in the playable category, unfortunately for Garrett, it came in at number 12, just below that 9.5 lines, which means 1 point for Carl.
So I was right, it was bad, but I was wrong about the line. Oh well. The next card was Clawing Torment, the black removal spell. I set the line at 9.5, thinking that it didn't play well with ninjutsu on the other side and had some other flaws.
And while I was also nervous about some of the potential downsides of this card, I took the over because the upside of it is very high. While the card got off to a little bit of a rocky start in terms of some of the early stats, looks like people quickly caught on to the power of this card in aggressive decks, and it came in at number 7, meaning another point for Carl. 2-0 Carl.
I was winning in the first few days there, but then it climbed steadily.
And when that happens, it's very likely because people just stop putting it in the wrong decks.
Yep.
And it does its thing in the decks that it's supposed to be in. Let's move on to the red card, which is my favorite if you listen to the podcast. Simeon Sling. Garrett set the line at 4.5. And with all of my heart, I took the over because I love this card so dearly.
I set that line thinking that our monkey friend was going to be pretty good, but the power level of the red common seemed really high, and it turns out that red's not performing super well, but at the same time, it still comes in at number 6, so point G-Guards.
2-1 Carl versus G-Guards. Let's move on to my favorite result thus far, which is Coiling Stalker. I set the line at 7.5, honestly hoping that Garrett took the over.
And I took the bait. Honestly, I thought, how bad could a 2-drop be in green?
I also thought that it would be decent, but not good, just because of the rate on the card being a 2-mana 2-1. And boy, did that come true. It came in at number 18, which means that Garrett took the over on 7.5, saying that only 7 cards would be better than it. And in fact, 17 of the 19 cards in green are better than it.
There must be something strange going on with this card, because it seems like it's dabbling in all of the different green themes, and it is just destroying people's win rates.
Friends don't let friends play 2-mana 2-1s, Garrett.
Fair enough.
There's always that card that has all of the keywords that you're like, before the set starts, I wonder if this could be good. I wonder if this could work with all the different synergies. And then harsh reality sets in, and rate still matters. Rate always still matters in limited. And in this case, that rate is not good.
Yeah. So that means Carl has won the game, but we still have one card left. And it is the very same subject of today's debate, the blue common, Network Disruptor. I thought this card was going to perform pretty well, but still thought that a 1-mana 1-1 flying might underperform in control decks, so I set the line at 3.5.
And I took the over because my assumption was it was just everything the Ninjutsu deck wanted to be doing.
Yep.
While it ended up number one in game and hand win rate, this is also the card that gets bounced back to hand with Ninjutsu the most often, for obvious reasons.
Yep.
And when you make some adjustments for that particular fact, it ends up at number two, just below the modern age, but still giving me the point for a 4-1 victory for Carl. And man, I can't wait for this beautiful poem that Garrett is going to send me on Twitter.
Hey, in my defense, I know that this was near blowout 4-1, but my lines were all pretty close to where the cards ended up being, and your lines were totally out of whack. I just happened to be tricked by you and take the wrong half.
Loser says what? Boom. Eat it, G-Guards. I win. You lose. Glory be unto me.
Well, I think this game leads us really well into today's debate topic, because we are debating Network Disruptor versus the Modern Age. Network Disruptor is a single blue for a 1-1 artifact creature Moonfolk Rogue with flying. When it enters the battlefield, tap target permanent.
The Modern Age is one and a blue for a Saga. Chapters 1 and 2, draw a card, then discard a card. Chapter 3, exile the Saga and return it to the battlefield transformed. And in the backside is Vector Glider, which is an enchantment creature spirit, has 2 power, 3 toughness, and has flying.
Well, Carl, let's get into our
In This Corner
opening takes.
My take for Network Disruptor: ninjas are awesome.
And my take for this card battle is that ninjas are weird, but consistency and rate is always good.
Sure.
Ironically, I am going to be taking the side of the Modern Age, and Garrett is going to be taking the side of Network Disruptor. We both like both of the cards, so this is not about one card being good and one card being bad. They are both great blue commons, but the question is, which one are you taking over the other one early in a draft?
I think both cards are fantastic, but I am currently a little bit higher on Network Disruptor because of how well it works with ninjas, which I am, to be honest, soft forcing at this point, because I am finding a ton of success, especially with blue-black ninjas.
The counterpoint for me is I've had more success with blue decks that often end up as more controlling multicolor blue decks, in which case I'm still probably playing Network Disruptor because I'm going to have some sort of ninjutsu in my blue decks. Like, you're always going to want to play the moon-related ninjutsu cards in your blue decks, but if you've ever started a game with the Modern Age in your hands, it just cures all evil.
Yes.
It helps you craft the hand that you want to continue the game, and then you get a 2-3 flyer for 2 mana in a few turns. It's just everything that you want to be doing as you set up for a longer game in a more controlling version of a blue deck.
I agree with all that stuff, but I've been making some really unbeatable ninjutsu decks. Let's move right into
Data Crunch.
What does the 17 lands performance data say about these two cards?
So this is where the Ninjutsu adjustment matters a little bit. The Modern Age actually comes in as the number one rated common when you adjust for the Ninjutsu issue, and Network Disruptor still comes in at number two, with Moon Circuit Hacker and Moon Snare Specialist coming up as number three and number four. One thing the adjustment does confirm, though, is that if you are Ninjutsuing, that is favorable for your win rate. That's exactly why we need to make this adjustment, because you get multiple game in hand counts whenever you bounce it back to your hand, and those situations tend to be winning situations for players, which artificially inflates that game in hand win rate. So it confirms if you're doing ninjutsu stuff, that's probably a good thing for you.
So you've modified the 17 lands data to make it a little bit more fair for these ninjutsu synergizing cards, but what about in blue black specifically? What does that modification do to Network Disruptor and Modern Age?
So you're ninjutsuing a lot in blue black, which means the adjustment is going to be even bigger. However, the starting point of Network Disruptor at 64% is super high.
Yes.
It comes down to 60.3%, so almost a 3.7-point adjustment downwards. The Modern Age starts at 60.7, and it only loses 0.6 of a point down to 60.1, putting Network Disruptor 0.2 of a point above the Modern Age.
No surprise, both cards work pretty well, I would say, with Ninjutsu, but Network Disruptor, probably a lot more synergistic with the tempo-oriented ninjutsu decks.
No question about it, and Network Disruptor is getting ninjutsu back to hand a lot. And you can go check out the 17 lands data, not the typical columns that you use like game and hand win rate, but the counts to see how often this is happening. The number GP column of 29,800 is how many times it's been played in a deck. The game in hand win rate column is how many times the card goes into your hand, whether it be drawn or whether it's bounced back to your hand, most often through ninjutsu. That's at 33,120, so more than the number of games played column. You can see, though, how often the card is just naturally making its way into the player's hand by taking that games played column minus the games not drawn column. So 29,800 games played minus just about 12,000 games not drawn means that it is being drawn naturally in about 18,000 games. So you compare that 18,000 to the 33,000 game in hand counts, and that means that it's being ninjutsu'd almost one time per game when it is drawn naturally.
Well, that's what the card is essentially for, if that makes sense.
That's what it's trying to do.
So what about blue's other three color pairs? How do they stack up after the ninjutsu data adjustment?
In blue-red, Network Disruptor actually has a sizable lead of 56.7% versus the Modern Age at 55.3%. And the other two color pairs, it goes to the Modern Age, with the Modern Age having a big lead of 60.1% versus 57.7% for Network Disruptor in blue-green, where enchantment synergy really matters. And in blue-white, which, Garrett, honestly, I'm not sure what you're supposed to be doing in blue-white yet. I have not drafted it once. The stats are decent for the color pair, but I can't figure it out. Either way, Modern Age looks great in blue-white at 60.5%, while Network Disruptor is just solid at 57.6%.
I mean, all this stuff makes perfect sense to me because in blue-black, you want to be ninjutsuing. You've got all those ninja commons. In blue-red, Disruptor is an artifact. It works with the artifact theme. And then in blue-green, Modern Age is an enchantment. So there's all those synergies there, and you have the card selection. And then, you know, we don't talk about blue-white, but all this makes sense to me and matches my experience.
I agree, Garrett. And one thing to keep in mind is that blue-black is a color combination that's played probably twice as much as the other three color combinations for blue. So Network Disruptor being a linchpin of that deck is extremely important.
All that said, let's go into
Pulse Check.
What does the community think about these two cards? And I looked this one up myself. You'd be proud, Carl. The ALSA data, or the average last seen at, where it's generally picked, Disruptor is taken 5.14 and Age is taken 4.95. They're right next to each other at 4th and 5th for blue commons. So about the same, actually. I think the community thinks that they're about interchangeable.
And that's probably about right.
Yeah.
Again, we both think that it's very close between these two cards. They're really close in pick order, and they're picked relatively highly for a common.
I can also tell when I'm drafting that both of these cards are going earlier. In the first couple days, I was getting them really late, sometimes even wheeling them, and people have definitely caught on to how both of these cards are extremely powerful. And the common sagas in general probably went way up in the community's estimation, because once you see one of these in play, it doesn't play the way a lot of us assumed that they would. They actually have a very impactful board presence. But essentially, I think that the community is taking these cards where they should. So let's go right into
debate it.
Make your case.
Garrett, why don't you start with Network Disruptor and what it's doing for you in ninjutsu decks?
Well, what doesn't it do in ninjutsu decks? It's a 1-1 flyer that you can get down on turn one. You can enable your Moon Circuit Hackers, the draw card ninja, right away. And in the late game, you can clear a blocker out of the way to enable your ninjutsu shenanigans. My favorite being Moonsnare Specialist, the bounce ninja. Just having two of those in hand and just ninjutsuing them back and forth a couple times to clear your opponent's board. But all of that needs to have the Network Disruptor to sort of clear the way, or just some interactive spell. But what better interactive spell than one mana? So I have been taking these basically over everything else, much to my shock, because you know how I feel about one mana 1/1s.
I know you love them, especially the blue ones that have flying.
So what about Modern Age? What's your experience with that, Carl?
This is a little bit hard to evaluate at first, just like I think a lot of the sagas were.
Yes.
You know, we haven't seen anything like this before. We've had Suspend, but those creatures came into play with Haste. So from an attacking perspective, you've got to add an extra turn.
Yeah.
You play the Modern Age on 2, second chapter on turn 3, it flips on turn 4, and you're attacking on turn 5. So you are not attacking with a 2-power creature until turn 5 with this, which is decidedly not aggressive. However, you're still able to spend the mana early on, and the loot effect is powerful at shaping your hand for the long game. We've had a very long history of looting being a powerful mechanic in Limited, even so much so that I think Wizards started reducing the power level of the looters.
Yes.
To the point where they became just fine, right? You had to spend 1 or 2 mana, for example, to do the loot, and the body was always below rate. But you think about, play this thing down on turn 2, and that means that by the time that you get to turn 3, you've got 2 more draws to shape your hand. And we found out, both from just play experience as well as data, that having the right mix of land and spells is so important, whether it be color fixing, whether it be just having 4 lands and several spells to curve out. And this helps you do that. And you get a bonus 2/3 body to boot for your troubles at the end.
Well, anybody who watches my stream knows I apparently love to flood out. So cards like Modern Age are just so amazing for me because you do get to throw those excess lands away and get action. So like I said, this card is really powerful, but my big gripe with it, which isn't really a gripe, is how slow it is and how that doesn't play super nicely with the tempo-oriented ninja cards, which I've been finding a lot of success with, which is why I'm taking Network Disruptor, because that plays really aggressively. You can get it down on turn 1 and you can just start doing your shenanigans right away. Whereas Modern Age, as a turn 2 play, can basically shape your hand to be extremely powerful, but you do sacrifice a lot of tempo.
You do, and it means that your deck has to be able to recover later in the game. There's a lot of cards that it plays really well with. Obviously, it's got enchantment synergies.
Yes.
But it also can allow you, for example, to play 18 lands in a more controlling deck that's got higher casting cost cards. It plays exceedingly well with one of the best green uncommons, Biseiju Reaches Skyward.
Right, the saga that lets you snatch up 2 forests.
That essentially gives you loot fodder. Maybe you want the lands, but if you don't want the lands, you can just loot them away and draw new cards with the combination of these 2 sagas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wombo combo with Containment Construct, which is a 2-mana artifact, 2/1 construct. Whenever you discard a card, you may exile that card from your graveyard. If you do, you may play the card this turn.
I mean, Containment Construct basically turns Modern Age into a 2-mana Mull Drifter with 1 more toughness.
Exactly.
Modern Age just really blows the value out of the water. But like I said, I feel like I've been taking a pretty good advantage of plus tempo plays by having these ninjutsu decks. And one of the things that I feel like I've been taking advantage of are these blue-green super value decks that take a little while to get going.
There's no question that you have to be very cognizant of your board presence in this format. With so many of the better cards as sagas, it can be very easy to just get carried away during the draft period and end up with basically mono sagas.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do that, you just don't have creatures on the board at the same speed in which your opponent does. And if your opponent is playing a fast deck, if your opponent has combat tricks and disruption, you can be put on the back foot and never recover. So you've really got to make sure that you've got some combination of value and board presence and tempo so that you can realize your late game when you're playing a more controlling deck.
The other thing about Network Disruptor that I think is a point in its favor is how small creatures in this format tend to be and how many of them are X1s. Because in a lot of formats, a 1-1 doesn't really matter, but there's a lot of 2-1s and even 3-1s sitting around where you could, even if you're behind, you can sort of just trade with that and be happy about it.
Kind of like Coiling Stalker, for example.
Another reason that green common is terrible, I assume.
Just gets blocked by Network Disruptor and Spirus Beetle and Spirited Companion for no value at all.
Well, I don't think anybody's making a case for that terrible card.
No, we're not, but I just wanted to make sure we reminded people why the card sucked and why you were super duper wrong about it.
No, is that why we're breaking it up?
Transparently and clearly, that is why I brought it up. Correct.
And let me ask you, Carl, because you are the one who convinced me to play that black enchantment Clawing Torment in some of these ninja decks. The one mana enchantment that stops the creature from blocking, gives it -1/-1, and drains them for one each turn.
Yep.
Network Disruptor goes way better with Clawing Torment. I mean, I don't think that Modern Age would ever belong in the same deck as that card.
No disagreement there at all, Garrett.
Yeah, so it sounds like, though, you're playing more value-oriented decks, and I'm playing maybe more tempo-oriented decks.
Yes, although I think what I am starting to do as this format progresses, I'm trying to pick a lane more so than ending up in the middle. If I'm going to go with a more controlling, powerful deck, I want it to be as controlling and powerful as I possibly can get it. Multicolor, yes. All the big spells, do crazy big things. And if I'm going the aggressive route, I want that thing to be fast, and I want it to be nimble, and I want it to be sleek, and I want it to have a really low curve. And I'm trying not to get stuck too much in the middle. Said another way, while the pick might be difficult early on in the draft, as you start to get into the meat of the draft and into pack two, you should really know whether you're a Network Disruptor deck or whether you're a The Modern Age deck.
Oh yeah. Once you're in that stage of the draft, I think it's going to be clear which one's going to beat out the other. But talking strictly about early picks, I'm still going to be on Disruptor. What's really interesting to me is just how powerful a bunch of the blue creatures are. We aren't even talking about Moon Circuit Hacker, the ninja that draws a card, and Moonsnare Specialist, the ninja that bounces a creature, both which perform exceedingly well. So honestly, one takeaway I have from this is there's a lot of difficult drafts where like multiple of these blue cards are in the same pack and you have to choose one. I'm actually having a little bit of trouble choosing which one to go with sometimes.
I agree. I've personally had some struggles with the ninjutsu deck. It's a challenging deck to pilot, and it's a challenging deck to optimize. You just got a lot of in-game decisions, too, around, should I just be playing a creature out? Should I be ninjutsuing? Ninjutsu is a weird mechanic in the sense that it wants to be in a tempo aggressive deck, but literally to ninjutsu, you're putting one creature in play and returning one to your hand. So sometimes it means you don't always have the largest board presence unless you've paired it with the right low drop synergistic cards. It's a challenging balance to craft.
So it's kind of unlike me actually to take this side of the debate, but it's just been my experience so far that it's been coming together for me regularly enough. So Carl, you mentioned later in the draft, you'll know which one you want to take. What about your deck would make you want to flip and take the Network Disruptor over Modern Age?
The obvious one is if I'm heavy ninjutsu.
Yes.
And I do not have a requisite amount of one drops. You need this card. This card makes the whole deck work. And if you don't have it at, or other one drops or even evasive two drops, but really one drops, the deck ain't going to work. And so you're going to need to take it. Sure, there are cases where you're blue black and you're maybe a little bit more slow and controlling, but I don't think that's where you want to be in the color pair. So largely speaking, if I'm blue black and I don't have the early board presence, I'm 100% on Network Disruptor. Another situation where I might be on Network Disruptor is if I have some of the both artifact enchantment synergy cards like Kami of Terrible Secrets.
Yeah, the black 3/4 that draws a card if you have an artifact and an enchantment.
Or like the rare Soul Transfer, for example, that you can choose both modes of exile a creature and return a creature card from your graveyard to your hand. And I'm low on artifacts. I'm happy to snag one of these to up my artifact count. And generally, if I'm in a different color pair like blue-red, I've got some artifact synergies, or maybe I'm just really low to the ground aggro blue-red.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to be on Network Disruptor over the Modern Age. And Garrett, what about you? When are you considering the Modern Age versus Network Disruptor?
I think you articulated a lot of my points, but in reverse.
That's fair.
But one thing is, if I'm already Simic, if I'm already green, I'm probably just going to always take the Modern Age, because green, I think, just doesn't do the ninjutsu thing well, as we've talked about with Coiling Stalker. And I would much rather just have the value, because there's a lot of powerful value green cards. Beyond that, if I'm blue-black, I'm probably always taking the Disruptor, just because I'm going to assume that it's got to come together. But again, like green or any kind of multicolored, I'm switching over to Modern Age. There's just a lot of power in the card selection that Modern Age can give you. All right, let's wrap it all up in
closing arguments.
Do you have any parting thoughts about these two cards, Carl?
They're both strong cards. One is a linchpin of a whole archetype. The other is a generically strong card that helps you smooth your deck. You're happy to put both of these in your decks, but it helps to know a little bit about your own draft preferences before you determine which of these two cards you're taking early on.
I honestly think these two cards are roughly equal in power level, but exist at totally opposite ends of a spectrum. While Network Disruptor is an extremely fast, high-tempo play, the Modern Age is a solid card selection engine, so it's up to your preference which one to prioritize. It's a meta call. It's possible as the format matures, the meta will shift and these ninja decks will be harder to build, but it's also possible that people will go too deep on sagas, and you'll be able to take advantage of that with super fast decks. So really, it's just a call as to which one you think is more likely to be open, and right now, I'm still on Ninja Tempo.
Well, I think this card battle shows a lot about the diversity and the depth of this format. I am personally 36 drafts in, and I don't feel like I have even scratched the surface of what is possible in the format.
If we can have one closing thought where we 100% agree, I think it is this format is awesome and we both love it, right?
It's great. I'm so happy to be playing this.
Well, that about wraps it up. So thanks for listening to Mystical Dispute. You can support the show at patreon.com/mysticaldispute. I'm Garrett Gardner. You can find me at twitch.tv/gguards.
And I'm Carl Chase. You can find me at twitch.tv/2duckcubed.
Shout out to 17lands.com for the data. You can support them on Patreon as well. Until next time, stay chill.
Adios. Just say amongst commons in there somewhere.
Amongst commons in there somewhere.
All right, editing boy, you can do that one later then. You have so much editing to do.
I know.